I want to thank Sisters Charlene Carruthers and Dr. Angela Y. Davis for allowing me to join them tonight at this Black Radical Conference. As we meet tonight amidst the Sturm und Drang of embattled black life in America, as we witness the cop riots of violence against black life in the midst of neoliberal America, in the age of Obama, no less, it's vital that we learn the lessons of history, especially during the COINTELPRO era. As many of us know, history, real history, tells us more about today than yesterday, for it provides a roadmap of how we got here. Several days ago, I asked two very brilliant sisters, both with doctorates in history, what was the central objective of the FBI's COINTELPRO operation? Both women, being historians, drew on their memories to recall the now infamous memos of February and May 1968, where the goals to destroy, disrupt, and neutralize black leaders are stated clearly. So both were right, to a point. I asked about their central objective, not their various goals. The central objective wasn't merely to destroy, say, Martin Luther King, for example. It was to replace him with a figure of their own choosing, to essentially take over the civil rights and black freedom movement by placing their puppet on the throne. I know. To most of you, this sounds paranoidal, even fantastical. But that's only because most of you haven't read the transcripts of the famous Church Committee hearings of November and December 1975 in Washington, D.C. If you check, it's pages 6 and 59. This plot was personally approved by FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover in January of 1964. It was in all but name an attempted coup, the toppling of a black leader to impose a puppet that they could control. It was, in essence, the same thing that happened in Iran, in Guatemala, in Haiti, in Iraq, and in many, many countries. What happened abroad, on the periphery of empire, was tried here in its interior. For in a white nation, blacks are eternal foreigners, aliens, and thus outside the realm of alleged constitutional rights. For if this can be done against a mild, nonviolent Christian minister of the Gospels, what can be done against you? Under the surveillance and infiltration of the Black Freedom Movement and killings of people like Deputy Chairman of the Illinois Chapter of the Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton, in his sleep, by the way, we see that the FBI functioned as race police. They also demonstrated what we see all around us today, the culture of police impunity. For where else can you kill a man in his sleep and no one goes to jail? The road from the state murder of Fred Hampton on December 4th, 1969, leads directly to the killing of young Laquan McDonald in recent days in Chicago. For both are expressions of the ugly and recurrent phenomenon of police impunity, the right to murder if the victim is a black person. Today, as the U.S. embarks on a new century, it's perfectly acceptable to large segments of the American population to beat someone to death, to shoot them, to choke them to death, to even bomb them, as was done in Philadelphia, May 13, 1985, the Move House, especially if those persons are black, men, women, even babies, with perfect impunity. How can this be? Historians show us that once we understand origins, we can then begin to comprehend outcomes. Most square traditional historians suggest that the role of police crossed the Atlantic after the founding of the Metropolitan Police in London, 1829. But American roots of police were born quite differently and for different reasons. Founded as slave patrols in the 1720s in the Barbadian British colony of the Carolinas, the body of armed white men had one primary duty: control Africans as a large labor source. Their movements were monitored daily to protect the property of the landowning class. Africans called them paddy rollers, a term of derision, truly, partly to mark them as poor Irishmen who rolled up on them on horseback. As a teenager, I heard my elders use the term whenever a police van rolled by. They called them paddy wagons for reasons similar to their ancestors. Times change, of course, yet some things remain. In this neoliberal era, when the political class sold the remaining shreds of their souls to the corporations and dispatched millions of jobs overseas under NAFTA and CAFTA, the role of police sharpened as they were equipped with weapons of war, ostensibly in response to fake wars on terrorism. We saw the real role in Ferguson, 2014, when unarmed black protests against police repression and state exploitation were met by automatic weapons, sniper rifles, tear gas, and tanks. Remember COINTELPRO? All of those acts, although illegal, were answered by impunity. The neoliberal state, now presiding over an open crisis of capitalism, goes one step better. In a moment of national fear, think 9/11, it passes the so-called Patriot Act, and voila, in one fall swoop, every crime of COINTELPRO is made legal. Phone tapped, constant surveillance, snitches and rats, black sites, secret prisons, no problem. Because it's all legal. Because everything police do in a police state is legal. But to quote Moves John Africa, just because it's legal, don't make it right. Now, Black Lives Matter enters the cipher. Born by women, grown by women, nurtured by women, it is beautiful to behold. It's movement time again. We welcome you. Right on. I conclude by suggesting some ideas on solutions. As a student of history, let me point to Dr. Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party's late ideas advanced in February and March of 1980. Principally, they advocated the abolition of existing police structures, for they are often instigators of problems rather than solvers. Secondly, they proposed the establishment of a citizens' peace force, a series of bodies based in the community. Their role, moreover, would be based on principles of public service, not this madness we now see as a dystopic RoboCop war against the people kind of thing. These are revolutionary ideas, not reform agendas. For to say the least, we now know that reforms promoted today by politicians and corporate think tanks, such as body cams, for example, are utterly failure and are a reliance on a technical fix that ignores the real nature of the problem. I thank you all. My dear colleagues, Charlene Carruthers, an impressive young organizer from Chicago, and Dr. Angela Y. Davis, the model of a scholar activist, who, when I was a Panther teenager, I proudly protested for her freedom when she was a prisoner at the New York Women's House of Detention. I thank you all. On the move, long live John Africa, and all Black Lives Matter. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.